This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. I'm actually recording on the road at St. Elizabeth Seton. I do this occasionally, and I'm going to be interviewing the Director of Evangelization and Formation, Greg Fleckenstein. So welcome, Greg.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And it's great. I think the last time I did a on the road, I think I've done two on the roads here, one with Stephen O'Keefe, you let us use the space, and then we did one on, I think it was the evangelization team.
That it was.
And there's, I mean, I have to say, there's a lot of really super cool stuff happening here at St. Elizabeth Seton. But I want to let our listeners know that we are going to be talking about the Eucharistic Revival that's happening, which is going to be culminating in Indianapolis in the summer of 2024, which is really super awesome that Indianapolis was chosen as the site that the USCCB wanted to host the National Eucharistic Congress here. And we'll get into that a little bit more. I want to do a little housekeeping, and then we'll start with a prayer. You may not know this, but Catholic Radio has been expanding. We have now 5 towers that are covering a good part of central Indiana. If you would like to let your friends know, go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. You can see where all the stations are, what the coverage area is. And we've also expanded our social media presence, so we now are on 4 platforms. We were just on Facebook, but now we're on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So again, to connect with us there, we do want you to connect with us there. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and then you'll just see all the social media icons. Just click them, then you'll be following us, and we want you to follow us. So welcome everyone that's with us. We're going to open up in a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Lord, you are the Lord of all time and space. I'd like to pray right now for our listeners, for our benefactors, for all of our family members through all generations, those who have lived, those who are living, and those who are yet to be born. And I ask that you would touch us and heal us, Lord, in all the ways that you know we most need healing. And we pray this through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we place all of our cares and worries in your care. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So again, I mentioned we're at St. Elizabeth Seton. Thank you very much, Greg Fleckenstein, for letting us to do this here on location. We're going to be talking about the Eucharistic Revival, and every parish around central Indiana, really all around the United States, are doing things to really help us devote, be more, have more love and adoration for our Lord in the Eucharist. I want to ask you, kind of starting out, what is the Eucharist for? We have a lot of people who aren't Catholic who listen to this station and our podcasts. What is the Eucharist, and maybe as how Catholics understand it?
Absolutely. So the Eucharist is really the source and the summit of our faith. It's really all we are as Catholic people. And we believe the Eucharist to be the body and blood of Christ, not a representation, not a symbol, truly his body and blood. And we kind of find that within the Gospels themselves, where Jesus, I really like where Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you. It's almost like, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You're in class, you're in your college lecture, your teacher's up there in front of you, wake up and listen to this very important thing. And he says, amen, amen, I say to you, the body and blood is truly what will bring us to eternal life, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting. I was, you know, praying this morning, and it was so beautiful that you have Eucharistic adoration here. I know you're ramping that up, and I'm super excited. I go at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and I, you know, sometimes I just want to come over here just to, you know, go to a different location and pray. And it was so great that I was able to pop in there. But on the way over here, the scripture kept going through my mind, the one, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And I was just thinking about, you know, that in terms of the Eucharist and how Jesus gives us his flesh and blood so that we can not only love him and be close to him and be one in him, but to share that with others, to feed the sheep, you know, even though we're not priests, you know, the laity has a role.
Absolutely. I like the phrase, we are what we eat. So when we receive Jesus's body and blood, we are truly not only receiving him, but hopefully taking him out to others. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so much about the Eucharist that we don't, I mean, I've been a lifelong Catholic, and I think you have been too. Is that the case?
Yeah, cradle.
And so it's like we're always discovering more, you know, about the mystery of this great gift that we have. And that's one thing that really, I think, separates or sets Catholics apart from maybe other Christian denominations where we really believe it is, you know, when we have an altar call, so to speak, we like receive Jesus fully.
We do. We absolutely do. He's giving us a great gift of himself when we go to Mass. And furthermore, we can be with him always in adoration, right?
Yeah. That's really awesome. Well, I want you to talk a little bit about your role here at St. Elizabeth Seton. A new kind of position seems to be evolving or emerging in the church, and that's one of a director of evangelization, not just a director of formation, which you are both, director of evangelization and formation. Talk about what your role is and maybe the different emphasis on going out evangelizing.
Absolutely. So within the Diocese of Lafayette, each parish has a director of evangelization, and their role is like you said, to be over the top of teaching the faith, but also inspiring others to go out and preach the faith to those who might not be as engaged, might have fallen away from the faith, might not have a faith at all. So giving them tools to reach them at a very base level, give them an encounter of Jesus Christ himself, and then accompany them along their journey of discipleship. So we spend a lot of time really here at St. Elizabeth Seton talking about how we can start by praying for one another. Then we can start by learning about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, deepening our understanding of the mysteries of our faith, and then finally going out and taking him into the world in very tangible ways.
And I think that, you know, as people are listening to this, whether they're driving in the car or they're listening to this, you know, on the, you know, Catholic Radio Indy app, which you can download, or just, you know, streaming on the internet or through a podcast, I mean, I hope that you can, as you're listening to Greg and I talk, that you can maybe take some of these ideas back to your parish, maybe what's happening here at St. Elizabeth Seton or your diocese, or even that you can use in your family. And I know the thing that a couple, we've had you on before, or some other people from this parish to talk about the how can I pray for you. Will you talk a little bit about that? Because I really think that is such a great way to engage with people, and people can find how can I pray for you. We did a whole podcast on this, so go to Catholic Radio Indy, go to the podcast, and you can listen to this whole show. But just tell me a little bit about that ministry that you're kind of over.
Absolutely. So we have an evangelization team here at Seton, and when we started that team several years ago, we kind of started with the thought process of where could we reach people at the most base level? And we realized coming out of COVID at that time that there is so much hurt in the world, so many people in need, so many different things that people are worried about, sad about, unhappy about, and how can we reach that? Because that's truly the crux of where we thought that we could take Christ too. He was the great physician. So we decided to really target intercessory prayer. So when a friend is talking to you about a death in their family, not only saying, oh, I'm so sorry, not only saying, I'll pray for you, you know, down the line, but in that very second, in that very moment, giving people the tools to wherever they are, wherever the Spirit's gifts have given them, to pray for that specific need through the intercession of our Lord, doing that anywhere, doing that in the church, doing that with your family, doing that
in the parking lot.
In the parking lot, middle of the grocery store, what have you. Yeah, so that's really what the mission is kind of unfolding with here, attributing, giving the tools that God has given us to pray for others.
And I think that's kind of scary. You know, I do that occasionally, you know, when I feel brave. But, you know, it's scary and it's kind of out of our comfort zone as Catholics because maybe we haven't grown up doing something like that. And then I think the person that you're praying for, the person that, you know, say, how can I pray for you right now? What do you need? they're kind of taken aback, but it really bonds you to that person, and it kind of opens up a whole new relationship with that person, and maybe that is the beginning of the encounter with Christ, because we were supposed to be like little Christs, I guess, or the Christs in the world.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so I wanted to bring that up because that is super cool. I'm talking with Greg Fleckenstein. He's the director of evangelization and formation, and we're here at St. Elizabeth Seton. Talk a little bit about the purpose as you understand it for this Eucharistic revival that's happening.
Absolutely.
Nationwide, and then culminating with the Eucharistic Congress in 2024.
Yeah. So I believe that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops really saw a need for two things, a renewed understanding and a renewed devotion to the Eucharist. I think many of us have heard the statistics of how few people, let alone Catholics, truly believe that that is Jesus's body and blood that we are receiving. They saw that need and realized that we needed a renewal. So they have broken it up into 1 year periods within a 3 year revival, essentially. So we're currently in the middle of the diocesan phase of the Eucharistic revival. Starting Corpus Christi of this summer, we'll move into the parish phase. And then once the Eucharistic Congress in 2024 has concluded here in Indianapolis, it'll be the year of mission, where we take as a very grassroots effort, where parishioners have taken a lot from this catechetically, a lot from this spiritually, and taking it out and into the world in very tangible ways.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing, yes, there's like this 3 year kind of preparation culminating in the Eucharistic Congress, but then it's never going to end, really. You know what I mean? In the sense of now the part four, I guess, or year four, which is going to last a long time.
Absolutely.
We are going to be in mission, and it's a great way to, really be, revived in our, most holy faith, but in really in our deepening our understanding of the Eucharist. I think about John 6, in the gospel, and I think a lot of people that maybe are Christian or Catholic or maybe no faith at all, pull out John 6, John's gospel, chapter 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
And read that and reflect on that and think about what is Jesus saying? Because I think at the time, because you got to kind of put it in context, not maybe through our presentism, eyes, but what happened there?
Mm. Well, at the time,
if you can remember, I know.
Absolutely. Well, I think that there's really two camps there. Two that are one. Yeah, there is a group of people who are fully devoted to Jesus. They might be accepting that this is things I'm not going to understand at this time. And then there's a group who are very, as we do in the world today, look around and hear Jesus say within that specific gospel, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood," and are like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Or like, how is that possible? That's, some people will say cannibalism,
yeah,
or whatever. I think that's an easy definition of it. But that's, so I can imagine, and people left. Like, actually,
absolutely,
a lot of people left.
Yeah.
Most of them left, right?
Very, it says several. Yeah, several. And went back to their previous way of life. So in other words, took nothing from that experience, that encounter with Jesus Christ, which was such an amazing encounter.
And I think, as, I've been watching The Chosen, I'm kind of was late into the game. In fact, my husband and I watched like the whole thing during Lent. I had just started, so we went through the whole thing. It was so good. But it really kind of brings home, it really helps you really animate. It really animates the Gospels, and I kind of look at the Gospels in a whole new way. And, I think Jesus said, are you going to leave to Peter? And he says, what does he say? you have the words, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And though, as you mentioned, Greg, the apostles didn't really understand what that meant, but they had such a love and devotion for their master, and they trusted him, which, we can all take away.
Most certainly.
There's a lot of things we don't understand, but we need to trust Jesus. And they stayed. I've heard other people say, like, well, where else am I going to go? There might be this, that, or the other thing happening, at my parish that I don't like or whatever in the world. But they trust. They trust Jesus. They trust the wisdom of the church, and that, Jesus set it up to help us to be a guide to us, and you know, through the Holy Spirit, the bishops, and all that. So I could get on my soapbox. But we need to take a quick break. We're talking with Greg Fleckenstein, Director of Evangelization and Formation, and we're going to talk about some things happening here at St. Elizabeth Seton and in the local community when we come back for more Faith in Action. So stay tuned.
For a long time, we've been telling you that if you have an Echo Dot or other smart speaker device, you can hear Catholic Radio Indy simply by saying, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy." Just the other day, I did that, and Alexa was feeling a bit argumentative. I'll let you hear my conversation with her. Alexa, where are you?
Here I am. What do you want?
Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Now, just why would you want me to do that?
Well, because we've got great programming 24 hours a day.
Well, a lot of other radio stations have good programs, too.
Yeah, but our programming talks about God and eternal salvation.
I am very smart. I know almost everything about everything. But I do not know about God and salvation.
Well, that's why people need Catholic Radio Indy. So, Alexa, do me a favor. Whenever anyone says, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy," just send them our way, would you?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. In the meantime, I am going to do some research about that thing you called salvation. I wonder where I can find out more about that.
Welcome back. I'm Bridget Eyre. Jim is off. I'm on location today, and I'm at St. Elizabeth Seton with interviewing Greg Fleckenstein. He is the Director of Evangelization and Formation. And we're talking about this Eucharistic revival. And I mentioned as I came in here, I love being on location. I came in here. It's great to be, you know, in a parish setting when we're doing this. But I was able to pop in to your Adoration Chapel here at St. Elizabeth Seton. And I know you're hoping to get that ramped up. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So previous to COVID, we had 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. adoration Monday through Friday here at St. Elizabeth Seton.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
So
okay.
Striving towards perpetual adoration, but very, very happy with that fact. And when we came out of COVID, we found that there, as many parishes did throughout the country, that there was a lot of people who didn't come back, unfortunately. So we are really trying to climb a ladder here at St. Elizabeth Seton. And the goal is by the summer of 2025 to be back to perpetual adoration. Big goal, and kind of how do we do that? We're really trying to start with very basic encounters. It's very intimidating to walk into a silent space, and very intimidating to see that monstrance there on the altar to some people who have never experienced it before. So we're hoping to have very tangible opportunities for people who have not experienced Eucharistic adoration before to do so, have some catechesis alongside it. So throughout this summer, following our 9:30 Mass, our most popular Mass here at Seton.
On Sunday?
On Sundays.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to... Thank you. I'm like, oh, you got it on weekdays too? I was like, yeah, I'll pop over at 9:30. But okay, on Sunday, okay.
On Sundays, the Mass technically won't end. At the conclusion of Mass, Jesus will be brought out within the monstrance, and anyone who is there will be able to experience Eucharistic adoration. Like I said, there will be a little bit of catechesis from the priest coming into that specific week. Mm-hmm. May the 7th will be the first weekend that we do Summer Eucharistic Morning.
And then it's going to probably go on
all
forever.
Throughout the summer. Well, we hope to at least get it rolling throughout the summer.
Okay.
Just to really just, since it's our most popular Mass, we find that we have newcomers who often come to that Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to give very tangible experiences along those lines of how you can be in front of Jesus for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hopefully that full hour afterwards. Once we get near the end of the summer, before going back to school, we are going to challenge the parish to have an entire week of perpetual adoration. So one solid week where we're going to need roughly 300 to 400 committed adorers.
I was just going to ask you how many people you need to do that. I know that Our Lady of Mount Carmel's done it for a long time, but I didn't know how many people they need to do that.
Sure.
All those hours. Math is not,
math.
I didn't know math was good. We were going to talk about math today.
There you go. We'll leave that back in college. Yep. roughly 300, 400 committed adorers. We're really going to challenge the parish to make that a commitment during the fall to bring in new people who have never experienced adoration before outside of maybe those summer Eucharistic mornings. Once we are successful in that endeavor, we're going to, you know, congratulate the parish. And then we are going to say to those same 300 to 400 committed adorers, others who are interested, we want to continue this, but on a weekly basis. So our goal by the end of 2023 is to have 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eucharistic adoration 7 days out of the week. the following year, by that winter, we're hoping to fill the early morning slots, and then by the end, we'll fill the late night slots of summer 2025 with the goal of perpetual adoration.
So for people listening that may not be Catholic, maybe not have any faith, explain what Eucharistic adoration actually is, because that could be a big myth. Like, we're talking about it, but like, what is that?
Absolutely. So when we go to Mass, we receive Jesus. And in adoration, what we do is we are sitting before him. So a monstrance is essentially just a fancy display case for Jesus. You can view him in his bodily form that you would typically receive, now is sitting before you. How I attribute it is Jesus is a confidant, a friend, someone who loves me. Mm-hmm. And if you have a friend, a confidant, someone who loves you, how do you spend time with them? You talk. Mm-hmm. Talk about.
Sometimes you listen. I'm really good at talking.
Yes.
I'm working on the listening part.
So you're kind of sharing yourself with him, and yeah. At the same token, you hopefully garner some things back. It is normally when we come to normal adoration, where in a parish environment, it's more of a silent environment. But if it is for something special, such as a feast day like Corpus Christi, sometimes there's music along with it. Sometimes there's a procession where you take Jesus kind of on a journey throughout your campus, throughout your city, and then back to your parish. But yeah, Eucharistic adoration is an opportunity to, one, find silence, which we so desperately need, some time to hear the Lord. I believe he speaks in those silent moments, and some time to share where we are with him.
Yeah, it's every time I go, and again, our parish has one, but I've come over here quite a bit because I actually live in Carmel, so this is just right up the street for me. And I love it because it just sets your day. It just makes you, it gives you so much peace. And, you know, maybe you'll hear the Lord say something, or, you know, like a scripture will pop in your head or something like that. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I can work on that today, whatever that is, you know, like just be kind to somebody or whatever, you know. You mentioned, as in your last explanation of the Eucharist, you mentioned Corpus Christi, and I know that something's going to be happening in Carmel with a couple parishes that are going to be doing what?
Yeah, we're very excited about this. Speaking of Eucharistic processions.
Yeah, I'm excited because I hadn't heard about this, so I'm like getting news from you. This is great.
Well, St. Maria Goretti, St. Elizabeth Seton, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the directors of evangelization at the three parishes, got together earlier this year and kind of were talking through the possibility of how we could make something very magnanimous happen on the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is June the 11th.
June the 11th. Okay, I was just wondering about that. Okay.
And on that Feast of Corpus Christi, the goal will be to have a large-scale Eucharistic procession. So what that'll entail is at the conclusion of the 1 o'clock Mass at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, there will be a procession that will leave Our Lady of Mount Carmel with Seton parishioners, St. Maria Goretti parishioners, Our Lady of Mount Carmel parishioners, go down 146th Street, go through the Circle Center, Clay Terrace Mall, down Range Line, and then ending at Carter Green. There will be Eucharist adoration, praise and worship, some reflections, an amazing opportunity to kind of showcase who we are as a Catholic people.
That sounds like a blast. I'm marking my calendar June 11th for that, the Feast of Corpus Christi, to do that. If parishes want some suggestions or advice, I mean, I know that there's a national website, and I think you can just Google Eucharistic Congress and National Eucharistic Congress, and you can register for the actual event, which is going to be in June 20, I think it's June or July 2024.
June of 2024.
June 2024, so a ways away. You can register for that, but they also have some ideas there. But if someone locally wanted to maybe connect with you, or maybe some of the other evangelization directors, you know, here in Carmel that are, you know, have some things planned. What's the best way? Can just go to the website here and maybe connect with you that way?
Yeah. So the best way to get in touch with me, I'll speak for me, would be setoncarmel.org. That has all of my contact info there. Or go to your local parish, either in Archindy or Hamilton County. I know that even though this is a grassroots effort, in other words, this is a movement of the people, there are some things that, there should be at every single parish, things that are being organized, and we are excited to bring the Eucharist to more and more people within our specific parishes.
Yes, and if you're listening and you're a person in the pew, you're not serving in a official role in one of your parishes, just and you have an idea, maybe you heard this and you want to try doing like a Eucharistic procession or something like that, or maybe get adoration started at your parish, maybe 1 hour a week or something, start really small. Let your priest know, let your director of religious education or evangelization know. What's it been like for you to attend adoration for you? What kind of your takeaway? Do you feel peace?
Yeah. I would say that some of the most beautiful moments, some of the most sad moments, some of the most impactful moments of my life have been spent before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. I genuinely feel like I know he is there present, not only to me, but to every single person who's adoring him throughout the world. It's amazing to be a member of the body of Christ. And I genuinely, with all my heart and soul, know and believe that Jesus loves me. I love him. And I go forward with that mindset. It is the food that inspires everything that makes me a family man, a friend, a disciple.
It really helps us, as you mentioned early on in the show, it's really the source and summit of our faith. And it's, it's really why Jesus died for us. And I was, reflecting on, as we were in the Easter season, just the things that happened, in the Passover, reading the Old Testament and the connection to the Eucharist, and it just makes so much sense. And as I get older, we talked about this before we got started, that things just are, as you get older, you reflect more on not just your life experience as a Catholic, but just some of the scriptures are just coming alive, as we make connections. And it's always the way it is, you read, and it's like, wow, I've been reading that for however many years, and I just like, ding, 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 it just finally came to me. So, We are out of time, but Greg, thank you so much for being our guest. We've been talking with Greg Fleckenstein, Director of Evangelization and Formation at St. Elizabeth Seton, talking about the Eucharistic Revival. You can get more information at setoncarmel.org here if you want to connect with Greg, or you can go to the National Eucharistic Congress website, and you can just Google that and find that. So, Greg, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Bridget. It's been a blast.
God bless. Well, I'm sure we'll do this again.
Sounds fun.
Take care.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.